text 29. Outside the ocean of yogurt is another island known as Pushkara Dweep, which is 6,400,000 yojanas, 51,200,000 miles wide, twice as wide as the ocean of yogurt. It is surrounded by an ocean of very tasteful water, as broad as the island itself. On Pushkara Dweep, there is a great lotus flower with 100,000 pure golden petals, as effulgent as the flames of fire. That lotus flower is considered the sitting place of Lord Brahma, who is the most powerful living being and who is therefore sometimes called Bhagavan. In the middle of that island is a great mountain named Manasotara, which forms the boundary between the inner side and the outer side of the island. Its breadth and height are 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles. On that mountain, in the four directions, are the residential quarters of demigods such as Indra. In the chariot of the sun god, the sun travels on top of the mountain in an orbit called the Samvatsara, encircling Meru. The sun's path on the northern side is called Uttarayana, and its path on the southern side is called Dakshinayana. One side represents a day for the demigods, and the other represents their night. Purport. The movement of the sun is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, 5:52. The sun orbits around Mount Sumeru for 6 months on the northern side and for 6 months on the southern side. This adds up to the duration of a day and night of the demigods in the upper planetary systems. The ruler of this island is the son of Maharaj Priyavrata, named Vitihotra. The son of Maharaj Priyavrata, named Vitihotra, had two sons named Ramanaka and Thakpati. He granted the two sides of the island to these two sons, and then personally engaged himself in activities for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like his elder brother, Medhatiti. For the fulfillment of ministerial desires, the inhabitants of this tract of land worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as represented by Lord Brahma. They offer prayers to the Lord as follows. Yad, which. Tad, that. Karamamayam, obtainable by the Vedic ritualistic system. Lingam, the form. Brahmalingam, which makes known the Supreme Brahman. Janaha, a person. Archayet, must worship. Ekantam, who has full faith in the One Supreme. Advayam, non-different. Santam, peaceful. Tasmai, unto him. Bhagavate, the most powerful. Namaha, our respects. Iti, thus. Translation. Lord Brahma is known as Karmamaya, the form of ritualistic ceremonies, because by performing ritualistic ceremonies, one may attain his position, and because the Vedic ritualistic hymns become manifest from him. He is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead without deviation, and therefore, in one sense, he is not different from the Lord. Nevertheless, he should be worshipped not as the monist worship him, but in duality. One should always remain a servitor of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Worshipable Deity. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Brahma, the form of manifest Vedic knowledge. Purport. In this verse, the word karmamayam, obtainable by the Vedic ritualistic system, is significant. The Vedas say, Svadharma nishtha shata janmabhi puman virin chatam, or A.T. One should strictly follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma for at least 100, or one who strictly follows the principles of Varnashram Dharma for at least 100 verses will be rewarded with the post of Lord Brahma. It is also significant that although Lord Brahma is extremely powerful, he never thinks himself one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He always knows that he is an eternal servitor of the Lord, because the Lord and the servant are identical on the spiritual platform. Brahma is herein addressed as Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. But if a devotee serves him with full faith, the meaning of the Vedic literature is revealed to him. Therefore, Brahma is called Brahmalinga, which indicates that its entire form consists of Vedic knowledge. So this is the prayers of those from Pushkar Dweep, how they worship the Lord. So here they are seeing the Lord through his manifestation, or the potency of Brahma. The Lord has unlimited qualities, and all these qualities are non-different from him. So he manifests these qualities in so many wonderful ways through all his energies. So in the spiritual realm, then all these energies are eternally serving him in their personified form. On the material world, then these energies, they manifest and give empower different various personalities within this material universe. And in this way, the Lord's pastimes of creation, maintenance, and destruction go on. So here is the worship of the Lord's ability to create in the form of Brahma. But we see the essential point here on how that is going on is because of his proper knowledge and understanding. One can create something if one has an idea of what its purpose is. Right? We find in this world great inventors are there, and they have invented so many wonderful things, different kinds of vehicles and different kinds of gizmos and gadgets. They have made many wonderful things. But in making this, they had a purpose that they wanted to get to. Right? This is very important. Someone who is expert knows what they are supposed to get. What is the result? Those who don't have that idea, they're not the ones who are inventing anything. Or you take a good cook. A good cook has tasted a preparation, knows what it looks like, what it tastes like. They may not have much idea of the recipe. They will try to cook it. If it doesn't come out right, then because they know what the actual preparation is, they know how the system of cooking works, they will adjust until they get it perfect. Someone who has no idea of cooking, no idea of what is a proper preparation, can never do this. So just that he can create means he knows what is the Lord's creation and knows what is the purpose of this creation. So now, how did he get to that platform? He got to that platform by properly following the Vedic principles of Varnashram Dharma. And by doing this with an understanding of the Lord's position as devotional activity, then he has gained this understanding. It says here, he is worshipping him with full faith. Someone who worships with full faith then understands the meaning of the Vedic literature. They are revealed to him. So one follows the order of Guru and Krishna with full faith, then the purport is revealed. And that's what we want. Just ordinary knowledge or material knowledge is not very wonderful. It is good, nice. You're a scholar. But unless you know what the actual purpose is, the purport, there's not great meaning to this. So here Lord Brahma has been invested with the potency to create because he understands the Vedic literature. He knows what is the Lord's purpose in this material world. He knows that. And because of that, therefore he can do what he is doing. Otherwise he cannot do it. So therefore, if we want to do anything properly for Krishna, because he is, whatever we do, what service we do, for creating things, or maintaining things, or destroying things, we have to know how to do that in relationship to Krishna. Means we have to do things for Krishna, the way Krishna has ordered. Then we'll be successful. Otherwise, so many times devotees run into this difficulty that as in the material world, I can do so many things. I step out of this movement, I go outside, they'll give me $100,000, they'll give me this, they'll give me that, I can make the material energy move. But when we come into the movement, and sometimes you find, you know, washing pots becomes a difficulty, you know. Because in this position, we're having to do it for Krishna. Now we're doing Krishna's work. So unless we're doing it for Krishna, thinking of Krishna, trying to do it the way Krishna wants it done, we many times find success is not there. We get bewildered. We think it must be all the people around me. No, it's because we are not seeing how to do things for Krishna. In the material world, we're acting according to our karma. Someone else is doing it for us, the modes of nature. They're giving the intelligence, you do like this, you do like that, then you get your result, because in previous lifetimes you did something pious, you're getting the result now. But when we come into the movement, now we're being given the opportunity to work under the spiritual nature. That means we have to do it according to Krishna's liking. Arjuna was thinking, yes, I'm going out there, I'm the big Kshatriya, I'm going to fight. Let me see who has come to fight, he tells Krishna. Take my chariot out into the middle. I want to see who has come here. Right? Who can stand up against my divine weapons? Like that. Then when he got out there, he became bewildered. Because this was not just any old battle like before. This one was Krishna has come to establish dharma. And this is where he was going to do it. Krishna's already killed all these people. So now Arjuna wants to take part. He has to take part under Krishna's conditions. It means he has to do it for Krishna, perform his duties for Krishna. Then everything becomes nice. So by understanding this, then we see at the end of the Gita, Arjuna then is self-realized. He comes back to his natural position as a self-realized devotee. So by the Lord's arrangement, this is done. Krishna does these things to his great devotees. So this is done. So this is the position here. You want to create, you want to do something for Krishna, then we must be able to see it in relationship to Krishna. Otherwise, we may know the technique, we may have the ability, the material ability, but we find a difficulty in application. And there's always some obstacle, something that shouldn't be there. That's why we see also difficulty just making things work in India. Right? You can't make the roads work, can't make the electric lines work, you know, the telephones don't work, like this. Because only if you engage things in Krishna's service do they have a meaning. Right? So we only have a few phones here and a couple of cars, so that's not enough to maintain the whole Indian telecommunications and traffic system. Because these aren't according to Krishna's rules. You engage it in Krishna's service, it becomes. But otherwise, it's not. It's not within the way that we see in the Vedic culture that they would do these things. So only if the devotees use it, then it becomes engaged. It becomes proper, perfect. But otherwise, you see things according to the Vedic culture, they work very nicely in India. So many times I hear devotees say, well, Vedic culture is very difficult to follow in the West, you know, it's good for Indians because they live in India and all these things. So that's the point, is that here we see things work when you follow Krishna's instruction. You follow the Varnashram, those aspects work perfectly. You go into the man's office, you sit down nicely, you bring them some prasadam, you talk about Krishna, you show them some nice pictures, you train them as a sadhu in Krishna consciousness, then you ask for some donation and they give you huge amounts. Right? They give you huge amounts. Like that. Well, if you come in like some Western fundraiser and all that, then they'll kind of look at you and go, okay, very nice, I'll let you know. You see things work if you follow it. The whole culture works. The relationships work. Things happen. And if things aren't happening, you'll see it's because they're not following the culture. They're deviating from the culture. So this is Punya Bhumi. It's meant for following Krishna's rules and orders. And if we do it, it works perfectly. We see in the Bhagavatam they're following it and it's working nicely. Right? And if you follow it today, it still works nicely. And if you don't follow it, it doesn't work. Right? So in the West, with great determination over hundreds of years, basically about the last 400 or 500 years, then they've endeavored very hard to overcome these obstacles of not following Vedic culture. Right? And with that, they've got the roads to work, the telephones work, and a few things work. But that's about it. Family systems don't work, social systems don't work, you know, their communications, you know, international relationship, nothing else works. But the roads work, the cars work, the telephones work, you know, these few things, they work nicely. Like that. So, and how is that working? Even one may say, well, how is that? Because they've studied for so long by the speculative ways Krishna's material energy, and they figured out how the material energy works. So then they try to engage the material energy according to how it works. So indirectly they follow Krishna's rules, and they make that work. So that's the method, always indirect. You study the nature of the thing, and after a long time of trial and error over many, many generations, you get something that kind of works. But unfortunately, they're only good at that with things. Somehow they haven't figured people out yet. Working on it. Like that. So Brahma is so respected because he has accepted the Lord's system. Like that. Here, obtainable by the Vedic ritualistic system, karma mayam. Right? So it is attainable by this system, Krishna's system. Then, by performing this system with faith in the Lord, he has come to be able to do the Lord's work. Right? So here, the creation of the material world is the Lord's work. So if we want to preach, we have to follow Krishna's system, and then we can do the Lord's work. So this preaching mission will only work if we follow the Lord's system. Then it works. We may make up some other system, but it doesn't work. We have to follow Krishna's system. Then it works. Then we see here that he is, the word is given as ekam, ekantam, one who has full faith in the One Supreme. So this does not mean he becomes one, meaning as one entity. No, there are always two. But he always has that full faith in the Lord, and because of this, he has the same purpose in mind. Oneness in purpose, oneness in their attitude and mood. That they have the same idea. The Lord wants to perform an activity, the devotee wants to please and assist the Lord in that activity. Then it becomes very, very nice, very good. And another point is in here, the Prabhupada points out, is that even though he's very powerful, Lord Brahma is addressed here as Bhagavan, because he's manifesting in great proportion the Lord's potency. Right? Someone who manifests very nicely the Lord's potencies is known as Bhagavan. Like Narad Muni is also known as Bhagavan. Bhagavan Rishi. Right? But they never think that they are one. And they never become, and they always think that they are an eternal servant. So even though there's identicalness on the spiritual platform, they never think that they become one. And they never become proud. And how do you do that? By thinking you're a servant. How do you do that? By not being proud. This is another very important point. Is even though we have the ability, we want to do it for Krishna. Right? So we're not like what I described before. We have good material ability, but we're new to the movement, so we're not able to do things properly. But here, we know how to do things for Krishna. We want to follow everything according to the proper ways of doing things. We manage how Krishna says we should manage. We lead, we do whatever we need to do. How Krishna says. But still we have problems. So here's the next point he points out. We have to be humble. We say, I'm a devotee. That's okay, but that's manifest by humility. Right? Just like I can say, I'm very rich, but then prove it. Let's see some money on the table. Talk is cheap. So I say, yes, I'm a devotee, we're all devotees. Fine. Where's the humility? Someone who is a devotee wouldn't have stood up and said, hey, we're all devotees. They wouldn't have said that in the first place. You know? It's like the man pulls out 50 pice, throws it on the table. I'm rich also. We're all rich. So this humility is the sign, the lakshana, that we actually are devotees. So because of that, then one comes to this platform of realization. This is a very important key in devotional life that many times we miss, because we're very absorbed in doing the service. Preaching means doing big service. Lead, you know, we're not just going sitting under a tree somewhere. Right? Going out, being in the public eye. Right? One becomes a public figure. Public figure means privacy. Whatever happens to you, even if it's not good for you, everybody has to know about it. Because you're a public figure. So that's preaching. There's no privacy. Right? You must be seen. So in doing this, we have to be careful not to become proud. Because, see, there's a difference. here. Very important difference is there's two levels of this pride. The lower level, the higher level. One is the lower level, you don't have the quality, but you're proud. Right? One doesn't sing very well, but one thinks one sings well. And one's very proud of his ability to sing. He can sing a little bit. Right? So that's the lower level. But that is quite obvious. It means everybody can see it. Right? And people can say this is very wrong because they don't have the ability and they're proud that they have the ability. Now the difficulty comes the next level, because somebody says, well, how can someone advance be proud? Naturally. Because as soon as you cross that line called advanced, wherever each individual places that line, because everybody has a different idea, then beyond that there can be no disqualification, nothing, zero. Otherwise one's not advanced. Right? So this becomes a dilemma, especially for the neophyte, because a neophyte basically can only see other neophytes. They cannot even understand what is a madhyama, a preacher, and how advanced that is. Right? And theoretically we understand there's an uttama. Uttama means somebody who makes no mistakes, nothing, 100% perfect. And if they make any mistake, they're not an uttama. They must have been a rascal, nonsense. They weren't even a devotee. They were a pretender all along for the last 20, 30 years, whatever. They were 100% pretender. Like that. Therefore, the Bhagavatam is pointing out to us that advanced devotees still sometimes have mistakes. Like Bharat Maharaj. He is a pure devotee, an Uttamadhikar. You cannot classify him any other way. We're not even being broad-minded. We're just being technical to the letter. Textbook, Uttamadhikari, platform of bhava, and he becomes attached to a deer. Right? Well, let's say, Uttamadhikaris don't become attached. He became attached. Right? So this is very important to understand. Otherwise, we have difficulty in spiritual life, because we have the Kanista, who, you know, has all kinds of problems. Right? At least everybody else does. I may not have, but all the other Kanistas besides myself, they're having some problem. And as long as they change, then they'll make my life a lot easier, because then I'll advance more nicely. They won't get in my way of my advancement because of their lack of advancement. And then I have the Uttamas, who are completely 100% perfect. You know, I make them perfect. Like that. They may or may not be perfect, but I decide they're perfect in my own way. And then, if there is any imperfection, then on my own same authority, I also reject them. Like that. Right? Because naturally, as a neophyte, I'm allowed to be the center of the universe. Right? I'm conditioned, so conditioning means I'm the center of the universe. I'm allowed, it's my right. Right? So even though I feel myself lower than the low, but I still have the right to say everybody else is wrong, and who's pure, who's not like this. So, now, in here, there's another level that one comes to, that the acharyas point out one has to be very careful. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami. So now, they all point this point out. There comes a point where one does advance, one is advanced, but one notices that one is advanced. And one becomes proud of one's actual transcendental abilities. The abilities are factual. The advancement is factual. The realization is factual, but we become proud of it. So that's not what Krishna wants. One may say, well, that's a very low level. Right? You know, just like the gopis who were dancing with Krishna in the Rasa dance. They became proud, so Krishna left. So they were actually never devotees, right? They were just pretenders all along. That's why Krishna walked out on them, right? He figured it out. Hey, these guys are pretenders. And then walked out. They fooled me. I thought they were advanced devotees. So the point is up to that stage, there may be difficulties. But what we're talking about is so fine compared to our platform. You know, it's like night and day. Point is for us, we respect them. They're so much more advanced than us. We can gain from them. But amongst themselves, and amongst the Madhyamas, then they can sit down and discuss what are their faults. And for them, they understand it. Right? Just like somebody before marriage, engagement is there, they think everything's going to be perfect, it's all wonderful. The girl is faultless, the boy is faultless, all their arrangements are faultless, everything is perfect, you know? It'll all go nicely, everything, nothing will go wrong. Completely wonderful. The same time as we see those who are grihasthas, they can sit down and without disturbing their position as grihasthas, without losing faith in the system of being a grihastha, they can discuss with each other, the husband and wife, or you know, one man and another, woman and women, or one family and another, about difficulties that are there in applying it. Right? So the positions are very different. But the one, as long as you say, hey, you know that there's going to be this and that and the other thing, and then the neophyte or the engaged grihastha then may become bewildered. Like that. Think maybe it's this person or that or so many things. Right? But the grihastha is not, it's just the tattva, it's the way it is, it's life. You have to live with it, you have to work with it. And Krishna gives us ways to work with it. And if you follow those, then one's a good grihastha, one is advancing. Right? Though the neophytes may think, well, why they're fighting, this and that, our relationship's so nice, special. What the Bhagavatam says about grihastha life, that's, you know, that's the theory. The reality is something else, you know, our relationship is special. Right? Prabhupada points out, you know, the materialist always thinks my sex is special. Right? Like Puru, what is it? Puru Rabat. Right? Maharaj Puru Rabas. He thought, you know, sex with Urvasi is special, right? They sent him a duplicate, right? A Urvasi clone. He checked her out, said, not the same, right? Not that, doesn't have that specialness. So that's the thing. One thinks like this. It's very special. But the reality is as a tattva, it's problem. Material world means problem. Brahmacharis have their problems, grihastha is theirs, vanaprastha is theirs, sannyasi is theirs, brahmins, kshatriyas, everybody has problems. Each one has their own problems. Each one thinks the other one must be perfect. Kings must think the brahmins must be perfect. Brahmins think the kings must be perfect. You know, like this. Everybody's thinking everybody else must be perfect. In themselves, that's reality. You have to be practical. You know, realistic. That's for yourself or what's related to you and what your opinion. And everybody else has to be perfect. Right? So therefore, the scriptures give us direction to understand what is actually going on the other levels, the other person, the experiences they're going through. Like Prabhupada points out in one purport, if the beggar knew how difficult it was, how attached the rich man was to his money, the beggar would not ask the rich man for even one paisa. He wouldn't do it if he actually knew what pain the man went through to, you know, dig out that 10 paisa to give him. He wouldn't ask. And if the rich man knew the difficulty and pain the beggar was going through, he wouldn't refuse. So therefore, because we don't know, so Krishna gives us, that's why if we follow Krishna's rules, it works. Because Krishna knows everybody. He created, he knows everything. Therefore, we have to balance whatever we do with everything else. Then it becomes wonderful. So here, this stage, the advanced devotee, he is advanced, factually. But that pride is there, can be there, that he is advanced. And he's not proud of something he's not. That's like saying Rockefeller, if he's proud of being rich, then we can't say that pride is unfounded. The pride is founded. We may say it's not very nice. It's not as cultured as if he was that rich and not without pride. Right? Anybody, someone who's very famous, someone who's very powerful, very wealthy, very beautiful, they have the quality and they may be proud of it. But the whole idea is to come to the point where one has the calling is not relevant. That is good. And one can only come to that platform if one is a devotee. Because only the devotee can actually be humble. He's truly humble. One may be humble because he's not on that position. One's realistic. I'm not rich, famous, powerful, beautiful, so I'm humble. If I was, then that's another story. You know? Then I would be allowed to be proud. So here, Ramha, he is on that platform, he's powerful, he has realization, he is a devotee of the Lord. But he's not proud. Therefore, he's able to do so much. So to that degree that pride goes down, we can do that much. And when that pride doesn't increase, that's the end of what we can do. Until we humble ourselves, then we can continue more. Like Arjuna was basically not proud. He's a devotee. But up to a point, he could go with whatever he's done up to the battle of Kurukshetra. Then he had to increase the depth of his understanding and realization. Am I not thinking he's a controller? Well, first I'll go fight. No, I won't fight. I'll let them have it. I'll go to the forest. I'm making the arrangements. Krishna says, you don't make the arrangements. Krishna, he makes the arrangements. We just follow them. So then, we see that everything went very nicely. Because Krishna took his position as Krishna's devotee, used his expertise in Krishna's service. Like that. And then Krishna protected him. Because of that move. Otherwise, we can go to a point, then we may have to stop. We may have to reconsider. We may have to deepen our Krishna consciousness. And this is what's going on. This is the process. So this goes, kanistas naturally, that we accept. The madhyamas, the preachers also, the uttamas also. As long as one is within the material world in a material body, one has to go through this process. One has to go through this process. Right? So there's devotees that come down, and there's devotees that are going up. So we see that those who are going up, even on the platform of being born in Vrindavan, they still are being further trained, further refining their devotion, their affection for Krishna, their attachment for Krishna. It's still going on there. So we find some little bit here, what do we care? Rupa Goswami points this out, it's like spots on the moon. So this is the real understanding of real devotional service. Right? Is that one can be very advanced, like Brahma. Still make mistakes. Brahma was running after his daughter. Right? Because still something is there in the heart. Something little. Not much. Just enough to make him run after his daughter for about 30 seconds. You know, until the Kumaras and Narad Muni and all that went up and said, my dear sir, this is not so proper. It's not looking good for someone in your position. And then he thought, yes, that's correct. And stopped. Right? So now they know devotional service. So they know something may happen. Right? But Krishna protects. And if we give good association, we can correct everything. They didn't think, what's this? Brahma's running after his daughter? Well, throw the guy out. Right? That was for the others, the Yakshas. You know? When they came by, they said, eat him up, spare him not. Right? The Prabhupada classifies them as demons. They don't give anybody a break. So we have to be very careful of the demoniac mentality so we don't give anybody a break, except ourselves, of course. Ourselves, we must be broad-minded. Otherwise, how do we live with ourselves? Right? We see everything we do, so you have to be broad-minded. Right? Like that. So the point is we have to be broad-minded for others. This does not mean sentimental. We see it in relation to the philosophy. Here, Ramha is doing a service. Right? Says, Lord Brahma is known as Karma Maya, the form of ritualistic ceremonies. Because of performing ritualistic ceremonies, one may attain his position, and because the Vedic ritualistic hymns become manifest from him, he is, So he is known as that because of this. He is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead without deviation. And therefore, in one sense, he is not different from the Lord. So in this way, this is the iron and fire. So in this way, the advanced devotee is advanced because of this undeviated devotion. And if there is a moment where that lapses, then there's a fault there. Something comes in, something will manifest. Bharat Maharaj forgot for a moment, he became a deer. Brahma forgot a moment, he's running after his daughter. Right? Like this. So many things are happening like that. So that's why the Bhagavatam is giving this. We must at least theoretically understand the whole system. Then life becomes peaceful. We can give some space for everybody. Right? It doesn't matter who they are. It's not that only nonsense rascals we gotta give space. We can also give it to, you know, the regular devotee, the advanced preacher, the very advanced devotee. We can also give them some leeway. Because the platform on which they're working is much, much different. The difficulties they're having are on a different platform. So here, so the point is that he attains this position by following Krishna's rules with devotion. Then he is non-different. It says lingam brahmalingam. Means he is the form of that process by which you can know Brahman. So his form, Brahma's form, is non-different from the Vedic hymns that teach us how to approach the Supreme Lord. So such is the position of non-difference. Krishna is the Vedic literatures. Brahma is the form of those Vedic literatures. But he still feels himself as the servant. He still knows. So on this platform, we can advance ourselves. If we think like that, follow the Lord's rules with faith and devotion and not become proud, we will advance. And if we see other persons, they are advancing, we appreciate, and if they have some difficulty, we can understand it. We find we have difficulty, right? Someone who's brand new off the street comes to the temple. Someone who's been there, was in the temple when they came, to them is very advanced. They automatically in their mind, these people are perfect. So they're shocked to find out that, you know, the guy that was here, you know, joined 1 week ago, you know, he eats too much. You know, how can this happen? How does this happen in Prabhupada's rules? You know, like that. So we have to be very careful about just, we set a line of advancement and anything on the other side has to be perfect or we reject it. Right? I have the authority to establish that line. I have the authority to reject. I place people there. I reject them from there. See my power. Right? But we have to be very careful of that. We have to take what the scriptures say, ours is the position of respect, but also for someone on that position, what is the level of what they themselves, what anarthas they have to deal with. Even though they may be very subtle, very fine. Right? Very subtle, very fine. And this pride that I'm talking about is the main line between bhava and prema. That is the main thing that stops. So one can be in the Lord's eternal pastimes on the platform of bhava, which one has the right to do. This is the conclusion of the scriptures. Those on the platform of bhava, they are allowed to enter into the eternal pastimes. And in a spiritual form, perform activities. But if they are proud of this position, if they are proud that they are so advanced, that will stop their advancement from going any further. Right? And then Krishna has so many tricks for breaking that pride. Like with the gopis, he left the rasa dance. So many others. Bharat Maharaj, he put him in the body of a deer. Like this, so many ways Krishna has of breaking this pride. But this pride is not like our pride. Right? It's very subtle. Right? Because one wants to do things for Krishna, but one is proud, one is able to do them. And then that stops the advancement. So only when that's clear, then one can come to prayer. And then on to the higher levels of prema bhakti. So one should understand what is going on in the process. With that, then we can say. Right? Otherwise, this is like, bhava is like the bud of prema. So now, if we say that that closed bud, or partially opened bud, is the same as a fully opened, fragrant flower, we don't really know the science of flowers. We don't know when to pick. You pick it as a bud, it doesn't have the same smell and beauty. Right? So the good gardener leaves it until it fully opens. Then it's fully open. So the transcendentalists, they know this. And in their devotional service, they're very careful to not become proud and to continue trying to weed out any difficulties in their devotional life. And others know this is going on, but it's on a different level. You know, that's between them. Advanced devotees, it's between, that's their platform. They can work out amongst themselves their own problems. It's not my problem. I'm still trying to get the seed to grow, you know, like that. So we have to be very, very careful in this, in seeing ourselves, seeing others like this. If we understand that, then we understand anybody can have problems. So then we won't be disappointed in other devotees. We'll be able to work with other devotees. Rather than look for the fault, look for what's good. See the beauty of the moon, don't worry about the spots. Like that. Krishna says he will take care of the spots. For that devotee who is trying his best, Krishna will remove the spots in his own wonderful way. So, some questions? The question is how in the spiritual body we can manifest a seeming material quality. So this position where one has crossed a particular stage only, one can get to Golok. And in Golok you won't find any of these difficulties. But in Gokul, that is the spiritual realm, but manifest within the material realm. So it's a sandhi. It's a junction of the two. It's the testing ground for the jiva. Because the jiva can make his full choice of whether he wants Krishna and Maya when he can see both at once. Right? So we're fighting to get to the platform where we're on that line. And when we are on that line and we make the decision, then we go over into the internal potency. Then we are fully under the protection now. Okay? Then we become Nityasiddha. Because once we come make that decision, we're there, we'll never fall. But that platform where the material and the spiritual world meet, that's the point at which the jiva has to make that final decision. Right? So the process is very... See, Prabhupada would present things very simply. Because if he presents the whole thing, he even said many, a few times, if I told you all the things about devotional service, then you'd give up. So he would present it, he would basically work on the conclusions, which is the essence, the most important. You have that, that's what you get. Here, Brahma, by following all these things nicely, then gets the conclusions. Prabhupada just comes and hands us the conclusions. So we're very enthused. But Prabhupada always keeps saying, follow the rules and regulations. Because that is what supports that you have those conclusions. That's the culture that you need to support that. Otherwise you have it, you know, yes, we chant Hare Krishna, don't care for anything else. But now, how do I apply that? I seem to care about eating and sleeping. So one has to... So therefore, many of these things are not always discussed. Prabhupada discusses all these things. But it's just a matter of... He'll emphasize that to enthuse. But as one matures, one cannot stay on that small platform, that only on that platform. One has to broaden and deepen one's devotional understanding. And that comes by service, with faith. Then one can see, yes, even there's difficulties on the advanced level. But they're of a different quality. Right? The gopis are with Krishna, they're in Vrindavan. So the platform, what they're there. And their pride is simply because of their spiritual position. They're not proud of a material position, they're proud of a spiritual position. But Krishna doesn't want that pride, it's rasa-bhas there. The pride can manifest with the cowherd boys, you know, in their rasa. You know, a fight with Krishna, you know, if you lose Krishna, you got to carry me on your shoulders, that kind of stuff. And Krishna appreciates that, because it's done purely for Krishna's pleasure. Right? But in the rasa dance, that pride is not for Krishna's pleasure. Because then they think they're special, not everyone else. And the rasa dance has to be a harmonious mood of service. So by the nature of it, you can't manifest it there. Pride, spiritual pride is there, but it manifests as part of the rasa. It can't be out of the rasa. It's a very deep thing. So Prabhupada recommends we read Nectar Devotion, we read these things. Then we understand what is the devotional process. Because Rupa Goswami goes from Samanya Bhakti, just talking about the glories of devotional service, up to very elevated platforms of Prema Bhakti and Bhava Bhakti. And even gets into Rasa Bhas, what things can't mix. So it means it's very, very, and he says the complete science. Everything is there. It's very, very nice. But that's a question. Like that. So to come to this platform means we ourselves have to mature. We can't just be sentimental. We have to mature and understand it's very serious. Just like the Nugrihasta, they stay on this euphoric platform. You know, the stark reality will hit them one day. And if they're not prepared for it, they'll think there's something wrong with who they've married, or the situation, or the management, or somebody else. Because as they saw it, it was all perfect. But someone who knows, who's trained, knows what Grihasta life is, there's no surprises for them. They just go through, and here it is, one by one, and they go through these things successfully. So in the same way, as we come to that point of maturing in devotional service, we have to deepen our understanding. We can't always go on with just a simplistic view. The simplistic view is still correct, because it is the conclusions. But now we have to be able to attach those details to that simplistic idea. Right? Just like you go into the kitchen, you just put a pot on the fire, throw in some ghee, some spices, throw in some vegetables, push it around, add a little water like that, cook for a few minutes, finish. That's factually all it is. A good cook knows that's it. There's no more than that. Right? But once you get in there, then you have to know what pot to put on, how much ghee, what spices, how much you cook them, what vegetables, how much water, how do you stir it, how much time you cook it, like that. So one has to learn those. So in the beginning, you enthuse somebody who's new just saying that's all there is. And then when they get in there, then one by one they learn each thing. But if you tell a new kid, you know, like that, okay, you're going to go in the kitchen, got to go in there, find a clean pot, check it out if it's this, if not, rewash it. Then you got to get the stove, clean your counters, get all the different things there, get all your spices, get it all there, cut all your vegetables, you know, like that. You have to make the orders, you got to go to the market, get another thing, forget it. Too complicated. But with that enthusiasm, you get in there, and then under good guidance, then you add in all the details. And then as you add the details, you see it's good. You can work within it. Then you don't mind all the difficulties that's in there. And at the same time, you can enthuse somebody who's new. At the same time, you can sit there and discuss with someone who's also a good cook about recipes and this and that and situations. So this is the devotional process. So I think it's Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mitai Gaura Prabhupada.